The headlines this hour: a massive crowd of Palestinians pray at the Al-Aqsa Mosque in a show of unity against Israel ahead of International Blitz Day. In remarks likely to anger Russia, NATO Secretary General says Finland and Sweden are welcome to join the military alliance as soon as they ask for it. And Russia warns the West of a tough military response to any further attacks on its territory, accusing the U.S. and its European allies of inciting Ukraine to hit Russia. Hello and welcome to CISB News. Thanks for joining us. We begin this hour with the developments about Palestine, where just a day ahead of the International Quds Day, tens of thousands of Palestinians have converged on the Al-Aqsa Mosque compound for a congressional prayer. Palestinian media have put the number of participants at 250,000 who gathered in a show of unity amid the recent Israeli desecrations of the holy site. Following the prayers, the worshippers chanted slogans against Israel and condemned the regime for its violent crackdowns at the Al-Aqsa Mosque. The gathering was held, despite Israeli warnings. Journalist and activist Jafar Ramini says Palestinians have been and will remain united in their fight against the Israeli occupation.
There has always been and will always be unity amongst the Palestinian ranks, Muslims and Christians alike. This is a war for our very existence. The Israeli government, since 1948, every Israeli government, their goal and their ultimate aim is to occupy all of historical Palestine without any Palestinians in it. Jerusalem has been getting the brunt of their brutality exactly or in a way that the Gazans have been suffocated within the last breath of their lives. Palestine, Jerusalem, Al-Aqsa Mosque, Al-Haram al-Sharif should not only be defended by the civilian Palestinians. It's a Muslim duty. And if anybody, any person, anywhere in the world, out of the 1.7 billion Muslims, the Muslim Ummah, call himself or herself a Muslim, they should come to the rescue of Jerusalem and their brothers and sisters in Palestine.
Iran's Islamic Revolution Guards Corps says the recent developments in the occupied Palestinian territories indicate that Israel's days are numbered. The IRGC censored in a statement Arab states that have normalized ties with the Israeli regime. It said such actions are aimed at fading the issue of Palestine into oblivion. However, the statement said the recent developments in Al-Quds and Tel Aviv vindicate the fact that normalization will not bring security for Israel. The IRGC did not mention any specific events, but in recent months, Israel has seen a number of unprecedented armed operations across the occupied territories, including in Tel Aviv. The statement said the occupied territories are about to see a massive burst, and at the same time, Israel's demise is gaining speed. The IRGC reiterated that its resistance is the only way into the liberation of Palestine. With International Quds Day being around the corner, resistance groups have held a conference in the Lebanese capital to voice their solidarity with Palestinians. They called on Muslims to maintain their unity in supporting Al-Quds in the face of the Israeli aggression. Mariam Saleh has more from Beirut.
Just ahead of International Quds Day, support for Palestinians is gaining momentum across Lebanon. This seminar was held in the Lebanese capital, where the speakers touched upon the significance of the Quds Day.
The significance of this holy day is that Imam Khomeini called on the free people of the world and the Muslims of the world, and the Christians of the world, to look at this historic, religious, and national enemy, which wants to steal your sanctities and Judaize your city and bury your heritage. Be cautious on this threat and be united to face this aggressive enemy.
With the violent Israeli crackdown against the people of the Holy City in Palestine, activists say the sacrifices of the Palestinians will be fruitful, and that Al-Quds Day is an occasion for Muslims to stand united in supporting the Palestinian cause.
Samahat al-Imam.
Imam Khomeini considered that our Arab and Islamic identity is incomplete without liberating Al-Quds. Therefore, this is a shame for those who continue to normalize ties with this enemy that continues to launch the most heinous assaults with their artillery and bullets. Thousands of wounded people have lost their eyesight, and many of them lost one eye or two. Hundreds of wounded people fell in the past assault. We will eventually pray in Al-Quds, no matter how long it takes.
Hezbollah Deputy Secretary General also stressed that Al-Quds is not merely a piece of land. It is rather an international humane cause. And Imam Khomeini established a cultural, ethical, and religious system to liberate it.
Mizatul Imam.
Imam Khomeini did not only make a declaration, he put a roadmap for the liberation of Palestine. He did not only call on the people to hold commemorations and events and make speeches to celebrate a day for Al-Quds, he directly closed the Israeli embassy and opened the Palestinian embassy. He founded Al-Quds Brigade as part of the Iranian Revolutionary Guards Corps, which would begin to form the army of 20 million. This would extend to the rest of the region and would support resistance inside Palestine. The only objective is to liberate Palestine.
All the speakers at the conference agreed that those who believe in the Palestinian cause are convinced more than ever that Al-Quds in Palestine will be liberated. International Al-Quds Day has developed from being a day of solidarity and vocal support to being a day of practical coordination between the resistance factions. The Resistance Alliance has for once ratified a unified strategy of defense, and the focal point is Al-Quds. Maryam Saleh, Beirut.
Israel's occupation of Palestinian territories, compounded by violent crackdown, have been fiercely slammed by Muslims worldwide. But some Arab states normalized their ties with the regime under U.S. brokered deal, deliberately ignoring Israel's crimes. The agreement sparked an outcry, with Palestinians calling it a stab in their back. We've talked to a number of people in different countries to get their views on the normalization deal with the Israeli regime.
تطبيعه بكل أحوال يعني لا يمكن كلمة تطبيع أن تسري على هؤلاء جميعا لأن تطبيع هو عودة الأمور إلى ما كانت عليه سابقا وبالأساس لم يكن هناك علاقات ما بين الدول العربية والكيان الصهيوني لكن كلمة تطبيع هي تأتي في إطار المساومة على الحقوق الفلسطينية كما يجرى الآن في الإمارات ويجري الآن في المغرب ومصر وغيرها بمعنى أن التطبيع الذي يقوم الآن ما بين الكيان الصهيوني وبين الدول العربية هو تطبيع على حساب حقوق الشعب الفلسطيني لذلك هي مرفوضة قولا واحدا
لا هؤلاء الذين يتكلمون بهذه اللغة لا يستحقون الرد عليهم لأنهم يكونون قد فقدوا ذرة آخر ذرة في وجودهم العربي والإسلامي سواء كان والإنساني فلا لا يستحقون الرد عليهم
لا شك أن التطبيع هو تركيع للأوادم والشرفاء والمناضلين والمقاومين وهو مرفوض ومدان وغير مقبول بأي شكل من الأشكال وأن التاريخ سيحاسب أولئك الذين يتنازلون فيركعون أمام العدو ويطبعون معه وأن التطبيع بدعة وكل بدعة ضلالة وكل ضلالة في النار
نعم نحن اليوم في محور مقاومة نحن جزء مقاومة في لبنان هي جزء من محور مقاومة أوسع وأكبر وأشمل على مستوى المنطقة في هذا المحور اليوم أصبح محور فيه دول ومحور فيه حركات مقاومة وأصبح قويا وينتصر يوما بعد يوم ويقضي على المحاولات الأمريكية والأوروبية والرجعية العربية هذه المحاولات تريد أن تفرض إرادتها على المنطقة وخاصة إرادة التطبيع لكي يكون العدو الإسرائيلي طبيعيا في محيطه ولن يكون العدو الإسرائيلي طبيعيا في محيطه حتى لو طبعت هذه الدول العربية مع إسرائيل حتى ولو شنت كل الحروب هذا المحور اليوم يواجه كل هذا الاصطفاف الأمريكي الغربي الرجع العربي المطبع مع إسرائيل المنقاد لإسرائيل. محورنا اليوم محور المقاومة هو الأقوى، هو الذي ينتصر وهو الذي سينتصر وسيحرر فلسطين والقدس إن شاء الله.
Israel is pushing ahead with its use of deadly force against Palestinians. This time, they killed a young Palestinian man in Jenin, adding to the many deaths and injuries over the past weeks. And the latest aggression has occurred right before the International Quds Day. The resistance groups have repeatedly warned Israel against a repetition of its atrocities. But unlike last year, when a Gaza war broke out, Israel has refrained from attacking the besieged strip. And analysts attribute this to Israel's weakened military position.
Israel is stepping up its atrocities against Palestinians. Israeli forces have shot and killed a young Palestinian man in Jenin. The man was identified as 21-year-old Ahmed Mohammed Lutfi Massad. He was a resident of the town of Burkin. He was killed during a raid on the Jenin refugee camp in the early hours of Wednesday. Officials say Massad had been shot in the head. Three other Palestinians with moderate wounds were transferred to the medical facility as well. The Israeli troops broke into dozens of homes and violently searched them, causing excessive property damage before detaining at least three Palestinians. Massad's death follows that of another Palestinian killed on Tuesday when Israeli forces stormed a refugee camp in the occupied West Bank. 20-year-old Ahmed Ibrahim Uwaidat was killed during the shooting in Akabat Jaber camp near Ariha. Nearly 50 Palestinians have been killed by Israelis since the start of 2022. Jenin has become the target of increasing Israeli military raids, arrests, and targeted assassinations in an attempt to crack down on growing Palestinian armed resistance there. The regime in Tel Aviv has escalated its crackdown on Palestinians since the beginning of the Muslim holy fasting month of Ramadan. It has also arrested dozens of Palestinians in the occupied East al-Quds and desecrated Al-Aqsa Mosque.
Well, I think clearly Israel is trying to provoke the Palestinians. You know, this is just part of their long-term campaign of wanting to take more and more land from the Palestinians. To take over holy sites in Jerusalem that they want for themselves. And again, they're trying to provoke a response that would justify a greater military incursion, I think, into places like the Al-Aqsa Mosque and the Damascus Gate.
International Quds Day is an annual event introduced by the late founder of the Islamic Republic, Imam Khomeini. It's held on the last Friday of the holy month of Ramadan. This year's event is particularly important because it's being held after 2 years of the COVID pandemic that prevented people from around the world in participating in their rallies. But the Israeli heavy-handed tactics and violence against Palestinians, including the desecration of the Al-Aqsa Mosque, have brought people out in solidarity with Palestinians even before the annual occasion.
Hamas says Israeli threats would not discourage the Palestinian people from keeping up their legitimate struggle against the occupying regime.
Well, again, I think Israel's plan is to take over all of Palestine, to push the Palestinians farther and farther out of, in particular, the West Bank, but also Gaza. I mean, it's really a genocidal plan, right? I mean, the plan is either to starve out the Palestinians, force them to leave as refugees, as many have, so that Israel can take over the entire, piece of land there.
The heightened tensions come as people around the world are gearing up for Quds Day rallies around the world. Palestinians have called on Muslim nations to play a more assertive role in securing the cessation of the Israeli regime's occupation.
NATO Secretary General says Finland and Sweden will be able to join the Western Military Alliance quickly if they ask for membership.
We are in dialogue with Finland and Sweden, and it's their decision. But if they decide to apply, Finland and Sweden will be warmly welcomed and expect the process to go quickly.
Jens Stoltenberg has told reporters in Brussels that he is sure that arrangements could be found for the interim period between an application by the two Scandinavian countries and the formal ratification in the parliaments of all 30 NATO members. Russia is strongly opposed to Finland and Sweden becoming NATO members and has threatened to deploy nuclear weapons and hypersonic missiles in its Baltic enclave of Kaliningrad if that happens. NATO's eastward expansion was one of the main reasons driving Russia towards launching an offensive against Ukraine 3 months ago. Russia once again warns the West against pouring weapons into Ukraine. The Kremlin says supplying Kyiv with heavy weaponry will eventually destabilize Europe.
The tendency itself to pump weapons, including heavy weapons, to Ukraine and other countries is an action that threatens the security of the continent and provokes instability.
Peskov's comments come one day after the British Foreign Secretary, Liz Truss, said the UK and other Western states should give Ukraine tanks and warplanes, among other heavy weapons. Downing Street, however, says for the time being, dispatching fighter jets to Ukraine is not on Britain's agenda, but it has not ruled out training Ukrainian pilots or sending British aircraft to Eastern Europe. Western countries have so far sent hundreds of millions of dollars worth of lethal weapons to Ukraine amid its war with Russia. The UK Undersecretary of State for the Armed Forces has said that it is acceptable for Ukraine to use Western arms against military targets in the Russian territory. Tensions between Moscow and the West over Ukraine are growing to fever pitch. Russia has warned the Western countries against pushing Ukraine into attacking the Russian territory. The Russian Foreign Ministry spokeswoman said the United States and its key European allies are openly encouraging Kyiv to attack Russia. Maria Zakharova said that a tough military response would be awaiting any further offensive against the Russian soil. That does it for World News. To stay with us.
توفیق الهی امت اسلامی و ملت مسلمان فلسطین بر دشمنان خودشون قطعا پیروز خواهند شد و خواهند دید اون روزی را که ریشه رژیم جعلی صهیونیست از سرزمین فلسطین کنده خواهد شد.
With God's grace and divine providence, the Islamic Ummah and the Palestinian nation will emerge victorious, inflicting a decisive defeat on their enemies. And we shall see the day when the fake Zionist regime will be uprooted once and for all from the land of Palestine. Ayatollah Sayyid Ali Khamenei.
In the limelight.
The U.S. president's immigration policies forced refugees into detention, where they faced horrific abuse and mistreatment, a rights group says. Stay with us for an article in this regard written by Ryan Devereaux, author. This article is titled, Joe Biden Detained Tens of Thousands of Asylum Seekers in the Last Year. This is the second part of this article. Exact figures on how many asylum seekers the Biden administration has jailed are difficult to ascertain, the report noted, because ICE has for several years failed to produce data in a timely or consistent manner, despite being required to do so by law. Customs and Border Protection runs its own detention centers near the border. People apprehended by CBP are generally paroled, expelled, or transferred to ICE's nationwide jail network for further adjudication of their immigration case. If they are seeking asylum, those individuals are entitled to what's known as a credible fear interview to make an initial assessment of their case. Human Rights First arrived at its conclusion of tens of thousands of asylum seekers detained under Biden, with most taken into custody on the border, by extrapolating from the available data related to those interviews. We know that over 66,000 asylum seekers have been referred for credible fear interviews since February 2021, Gendelman said. Typically, the vast majority of credible fear interviews occur in detention, and we also know that the vast majority of people who have been booked into ICE custody under Biden administration have been coming from CBP custody. On average, the asylum seekers Human Rights First spoke with experienced nearly 4 months of detention, though many were jailed for up to 10 months or more. They included a Nicaraguan asylum seeker detained for 3 months and denied parole as a border security enforcement priority, an asylum seeker living with HIV in prison for nearly 5 months, and an Angolan human rights defender detained for 8 months, even though his wife and children are living in the United States pursuing their asylum claims, the report said. Asylum seekers jailed by the Biden administration have often remained in custody even after establishing a credible fear of persecution in their interviews with U.S. immigration officials, according to Human Rights First. While the total number of asylum seekers detained after receiving positive fear determinations has declined significantly in recent months, government data reveals that asylum seekers in ICE detention who established a fear of persecution have been jailed for an average of 10.75 months as of late March 2022, the report said. Erroneous negative determinations and month-long delays in conducting fear interviews have prolonged detention for many others. The report documented extensive final hurdles for asylum seekers in custody, with the average immigration bond in fiscal year 2021 set at nearly $10,000 and some set as high as $100,000. The report noted that the fact of being jailed, coupled with the lack of guaranteed access to a lawyer, greatly diminishes an asylum seeker's ability to meaningfully access the legal system to present their case. Inside the detention centers themselves, Human Rights First found horrific abuse and mistreatment, including an asylum seeker thrown into solitary confinement without clothing after a suicide attempt and denied access to a shower, toilet paper, and a toothbrush for 21 days. A Mexican asylum seeker who was sexually assaulted after ICE jailed him in a unit that did not correspond to his identity and for his own safety was forced to request to be held in nearly 24-hour lockdown in solitary confinement, and a Brazilian asylum seeker who was verbally abused by a Trappist when he sought mental health care. According to the report, multiple minor children have been illegally held in adult detention facilities even though they presented documentation of their age. Asylum seekers from black-majority countries receive particularly bad treatment, spending 27% more time in jail and facing harsher release requirements than other people held in detention. In one instance, ICE officers explicitly stated that they had been instructed to release Cubans, Nicaraguans and Venezuelans to create additional detention bed space, while ICE was simultaneously detaining large numbers of Haitian asylum seekers and migrants at the same facility, the report said. Human Rights First documented several individual cases of anti-black abuse in immigration custody. According to the report, asylum seekers had their braids or locks forcibly cut off by detention staff, and racist comments were directed at black asylum seekers that included references to slavery and lynching. In place of border security threat priorities for asylum seekers, Human Rights First is pushing for alternative to detention programs that would link those individuals with legal counsel outside the jailhouse setting. Such programs have proved highly effective at ensuring that asylum seekers attend their court hearings. A 2021 study by the American Immigration Council found that 96% of non-detained immigrants represented by a lawyer attended all of their hearings from 2008 to 2018. The alternative to detention programs are also vastly less expensive than the current model. Jailing asylum seekers is not only cruel, but is also unnecessary and wasteful, Gendelman said. The Biden administration should instead use humane, proven, community-based case support to welcome asylum seekers and allow them to pursue their cases while living in U.S. communities. It's a cruel choice to detain them, and a costlier one as well.
ربنا Supplication is the wealth of the believer and the bridge by which one achieves proximity to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, the Exalted.
A path to salvation, a way to connect the two worlds. On the program, Bridge.
You're listening to the program Bridge on RIB English Radio with Sheikh Al-Musavi.
أعوذ بالله من الشيطان اللعين الرجيم بسم الله الرحمن الرحيم Brothers and sisters, dear listeners, السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته Welcome to IRIB English Radio and you are listening to the program Bridge. We are looking at the supplications of الصحيفة السجادية by الإمام علي بن الحسين سلام الله عليه. We go to the point where the Imam asks Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala from the lack of patience or weakness in patience. We are in the month of Ramadan and we are at the end of the month of Ramadan, the last 10 days of the month of Ramadan. If this month have taught us anything, it would have taught us how to become patient and how we should exercise patience. Patience in terms of we have to become obedient to Allah, we have to come close to Allah, seeking reward from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. Patience from the fact that we should not commit any sins, even the ones that we were allowed to do. Patience in the way where me and you have to make sure that when we talk, when we do things, our sabr and our patience is constantly present before us. This is the month where we have learned how to become obedient to Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, how to achieve piety from Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala. And it's a month. However, the effects of it should echo throughout the year. What we gain in one month should be sufficient for me and you to continue for an entire year. In a lot of the ahadith, we have the Prophet sallallahu alaihi wa alihi and the Ahlul Bayt tell us that Siyam or Sawm itself and the month of Ramadan is actually Sabr itself. When Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala says in the Quran, وَاسْتَعِينُ بِالصَّبْرِ وَالصَّلَةِ and use sabr, patience and prayer as a form of trying to assist you in your daily life. Many scholars, many mufassirin have translated the word sabr into fasting. Let us take a short break and then we will continue.
A path to salvation. A way to connect the two worlds.
The bridge between Allah and His creation.
A bridge that is meant to take us to Allah, to take us to His proximity. A bridge that is in the form of dua and supplication.
In this program, we offer commentary on the du'as of As-Sahifatu Sajjadiyah of Imam Sajjad alayhi salatu wasalam.
The famous book of litanies, the Psalms of Islam.
Bridge.
Rabbana, Rabbana,
welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge, coming to you from IRIB English Radio. So we said many scholars have translated the word sabr in this verse in Surah Al-Baqarah, where Allah says, "Ista'inu bis-sabri was-salah," use patience and salah as a form of assistance. In fact, sabr, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala means by it, siyam. So Allah says, use sawm and salah as forms of assistance in your life. So itself, this fasting itself, it is just patience. Even in the hadith, it says, as-sawm nusfu sabr. Fasting is half of patience. In another hadith, it says, "Sawm shahr as-sabr." You need to fast the month of patience. Because in fact, it is, you know, 30 days, 29 days, but nothing. We do nothing but patience. We exercise patience from dawn to sunset. We are doing nothing but exercising the notion of patience and sabr. When we have so much things that we want to do, so much pleasures and desires, but we can't do them, we can't perform them. Why? Because I'm fasting. And therefore, I'm exercising that form of sabr. So, and also that kind of patience and sabr that we exercise throughout the month, in fact, what it's doing is creating a sense of strong willpower. Because throughout the year, we get weak, especially facing our desires and facing our pleasures. However, if we fast correctly, we exercise patience correctly, that should strengthen my willpower and my irada, as we call it, which is, you know, to have the ability to outstand and stand strong against all the pleasures of the world. So in other words, if my patience is weak during the month of Ramadan and I find myself constantly tempted to do the haram or to even break my fast, then that means my willpower is very weak, where it should increase my willpower. So by the end of the month, if I have fasted correctly and exercised patience and sabr correctly, then I should be a very strong person by the end of that month, which is, we are almost at the end of it. Now, before I continue, let us take a short break and then we come back right after.
Listening to the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
What's up,
Welcome back, brothers and sisters, and you are listening to the program Bridge coming to you from IRIB English Radio. Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, one of the ways to test the patience of His servants is in fact through fasting. There are other ways, but fasting is one of the most apparent method of testing my and your patience. And that's why you see a lot of people fail that test. They find themselves weak in front of their own desires. They can't have the patience to wait 8, 12 hours a day without eating and drinking. They just can't do it. It's just because their willpower is weak, their patience is weak. So Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala, He decides at times, or especially in the month of Ramadan, to test my patience and see, am I truly living up to the task? Because sometimes, me as a person, I speak for myself. You know, I always talking to people that you need to be patient in this, you have to do this, Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala will give you so and so if you become patient. But sometimes, when I myself put in a situation where my patience is required, I fail. So how do I and you test our strength and the ability of our fasting? How strong is our sabr when it comes to fasting? So through fasting, throughout this month, we have learned either our sabr, our patience is weak, or either it is strong. And especially depends on the weather as well, if I can say the least, because sometimes I could be living in a country where the whole day is about 8 hours, and it's cold, it's winter, so I don't feel nothing. But sometimes when I'm in a country where it's summer, and it is about 17 hours a day, then really my patience is being tested and tested hard. So alhamdulillah that me and you have managed to fast the entire month so far, and we have not committed anything wrong. So we can thank Allah subhanahu wa ta'ala for this ability. The fruit of this month, which is sabr and taqwa and piety, is something that we should take with us for the rest of the year. It does not mean that when it comes to Eid, I should leave everything behind and go back to zero. It's time for me to indulge in all my pleasures and desires and even sins. Because some people, the day of Eid or the night of Eid, they start to play music and dancing, which means they've lost the game. So we need to maintain the sabr that we took from with us throughout this entire month and use it for the rest of the year. Inshallah, we will continue in other episodes. Until then, stay with us. Wassalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Sheikh Al-Musawi in the program Bridge on IRIB English Radio.
هرگز نگیرد تا ابد آقا کسی جای تو را هرگز مخواد از کف دهم عشق و تولای تو را یا
Fruitful Moments with IRIB English Radio. Log on to our website, www.parstoday.com/en.
in the limelight. In Britain, the flagship public health body set up by Prime Minister Boris Johnson to combat the pandemic is in turmoil, with plans looming to cut jobs by up to 40% and suspend routine COVID testing in hospitals and in care homes to save money. The article you're about to hear has been written by The Guardian journalist Rowena Mason, Heather Stewart and Dennis Campbell. The piece is titled UK Health Agency to Cut 800 Jobs and Halt Routine COVID Testing. In Britain, the flagship public health body set up by Boris Johnson to combat the pandemic is in turmoil, with plans looming to cut jobs by up to 40% and suspend routine COVID testing in hospitals and in care homes to save money. White House sources have told The Guardian that the UK Health Security Agency, UKHSA, led by Dr. Jenny Harris, is in a state of disarray, with morale at rock bottom and concerns it is not funded to cope with the resurgence in the pandemic. Public health experts warn that the alarming cuts could cost lives. More than 800 staff are due to be lost from vital health protection teams across the country in the coming months, a reduction of up to 40% from the current 2,000 members of staff. One insider said people were being given 2 weeks' notice that their contracts were being ended early. And the way it was being dealt with was similar to the recent situation at P&O. Some other teams throughout the organisation have also been told they need to cut full-time equivalent staff by 40%. After the Treasury slashed its budget to deal with COVID, the UK Health Security Agency, UKHSA, is now proposing to health ministers that it suspend regular asymptomatic testing in hospitals and care homes from May to save money before a potential winter spike in cases. Sources in the organisation said funding for asymptomatic testing in high-risk settings is only enough to cover 6 months of the year, and senior officials believe it would be better saved for later in the year. The proposals come after the government heavily scaled back its provision of free testing for the general public as part of its Living with COVID plan, with the previous year's budget of £15 billion cut by up to 90%. At the time, the government said asymptomatic testing would continue in high-risk settings while prevalence was still high. Public health experts warned that cuts to testing and health protection staff were irresponsible, short-sighted, and risked the resurgence of COVID, especially among health and social care workers. COVID prevalence levels in England fell significantly to 1 in 17 people in the week ending 16th of April, compared with 1 in 14 in the previous week. However, officials say they still regard this level as high prevalence. Professor Maggie Ray, president of the Faculty of Public Health, which represents 4,000 public health professionals across Britain, said, "If the COVID-19 pandemic has taught us one thing, it is the importance of having a properly funded public health system that is able to prepare for and respond to threats to our health. Government has consistently underfunded public health services, which are there to protect and improve health for all. To not only fail to bolster the public health system, but to continue to cut it so deeply is irresponsible and threatens the health of all in society, particularly the most vulnerable." Dr. Jyotna Vohra, Director of Policy and Public Affairs at the Royal Society for Public Health, said it is deeply concerning to hear about cuts to the UK Health Security Agency, UKHSA, workforce when we are still in a pandemic. Strong, consistent health protection messaging and activities are vital at this time. To remove free asymptomatic testing from health and social care workers feels irresponsible. With high exposure to the virus and to our elderly and most vulnerable members of our population, the health and social care workforce must have the greatest possible confidence in their infection status. Asymptomatic testing provides this. At a time when infection rates are still high, this feels like we're saving pennies at the cost of pounds, or worse, at the cost of lives. The Labour Party has also criticised the proposals to strip away more testing from NHS staff. The Shadow Health Secretary, Wes Streeting, said, "While the NHS is in a permanent state of crisis and patients are waiting longer than ever for care, the government can't seriously be considering stripping away support even further. Patients need to know that they will be safe when they go into hospital and care homes. These proposals risk leaving the NHS unprotected and unprepared." Staff at the UK Health Security Agency, UKHSA, told The Guardian that job cuts and the reduction in funding for public health measures have left an exhausted and demoralised rump of permanent staff at the organisation. One source said many remaining employees were in a state of ever-increasing anger and despair at the organisation's leadership and approach to its staff and strategy. Many are also angry over a debacle affecting about 300 UKHSA staff who were told they were wrongly being paid a £3,700 London waiting and that this would be removed. The organisation is now in discussions with its unions over the episode. The job cuts are a mixture of ending fixed-term contracts and redeploying or giving notice to civil service payroll staff. Many people are jumping ship, said a third source, with some senior policy staff at the director's level told in pairs that only one or neither of them would be able to keep their jobs. UKHSA was launched with great fanfare by Matt Hancock, the former health secretary, in 2021, bringing together the former Public Health England, its successor, the National Institute of Health Protection, and the National Health Service Test and Trace. Prime Minister Boris Johnson had ordered the new body after losing faith with Public Health England's handling of the pandemic during the first national lockdown in Britain. Asked about the plan to scale back testing further, UKHSA pointed to the Living with COVID plan and said any decisions would be taken by ministers. A Department of Health and Social Care source said UKHSA submission had not been received yet, but it would be looked at in the context of the plan. Meanwhile, doctors in Britain who share misleading information on social media could face regulatory action, according to Plan New guidelines. Posts made on Twitter, Instagram and TikTok are among those that could be scrutinised by the General Medical Council, the GMC, if a doctor is reported. The General Medical Council is to update its Good Medical Practice Guide, seen by some as a modern-day Hippocratic Oath, for the first time in almost a decade. The latest draft says that doctors must be honest and trustworthy, make clear the limits of their knowledge, and make reasonable checks to make sure that any information given is not misleading. It is the first proposed update to to the guidance since 2013 and is being put out for consultation. The document will also make it a doctor's duty to act if they become aware of workplace bullying as well as discrimination and sexual harassment.
You have just listened to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran broadcasting. The Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran is broadcast daily from 1520 to 1620 UTC on the following frequencies. 25 meters, 11,865 kilohertz for the Indian subcontinent, and FM 91.5 MHz for Tehran. You can also listen to the Voice of the Islamic Republic of Iran on Hotbird, Eutelsat 3B, and Iran Sat or Bat 5 and via the Internet. Our Internet address is parstoday.com/en. And now you can listen to IRIB English Radio via your mobile phone. Please refer to our website for the details. Please send your correspondence to the English program P.O. Box number 19395-6767, Tehran, Islamic Republic of Iran, or email us to englishradio@irib.ir. We would be very pleased to have your comments about audio quality and other means. Thank you.
Our voice comes from the heart of beautiful Iran.
Oh Lord, here I am, pleading at your door. Send me your mercy, send me your peace, or I am lost for sure.
Hadith of the day.
Here I am, yearning for your cure. This humble servant will be diverted from you no more, no more, no more.
You're listening to the program Hadith of the Day with Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha on IRIB English Radio.
Bismillah ar-Rahman ar-Rahim. Welcome to our program Hadith of the Day here at IRIB English Radio. Today on Hadith of the Day, we're going to be looking at a very noble and beautiful tradition which has been narrated from Imam Sadiq alayhi salam. And this hadith is about the dangers of making worldly affairs one's greatest concern. As you know, we're in the month of Ramadan, and the month of Ramadan is a very spiritual and holy month where we have been given the great opportunity to turn towards God and to increase our spirituality. At the same time, we know that this is not possible unless we detach ourselves from this world, this dunya. And in this tradition, in this hadith, the Imam mentions some of the dangers about making worldly affairs one's greatest concern. Imam Sadiq alayhi salam says, "The person who wakes up in the morning and retires at night, having worldly affairs as his greatest concern, Allah places poverty between his eyes." So a person whose only concern and his sole concern is this world, we'll find that, you know, this has contrary results than the results he is seeking out. Meaning the person who makes worldly affairs his sole concern, obviously the purpose that he does this for is that he is under the assumption that by concentrating on the world, focusing on it, making it his sole, you know, concern and purpose in life, he's going to perhaps increase the chances of his, you know, becoming successful in this world and achieving those worldly concerns and affairs that he has. But actually, the truth is that this way of approaching worldly success and worldly gains has a contrary result than what this person assumes, meaning it turns around and makes this person poor and impoverished. In continuation, the Imam says, it scatters his affairs, and he will not take from this world except for what Allah has apportioned for him. Meaning Allah Ta'ala has apportioned and written down for him what he's going to attain in this world. It doesn't matter how much he seeks the world and makes it his concern or not. What Allah has apportioned for him, he will attain it. As for the one who wakes up in the morning and retires, the Imam says, at night, having the hereafter as his greatest concern, Allah places needlessness in his heart and brings together his affairs for him. So the person who forgets the world and leaves his affairs to Allah, Allah, helps him resolve his worldly problems and brings him success in this world and in the hereafter. Thank you for joining us here on Hadith of the Day. We were looking at the danger of making worldly affairs one's greatest concern in the words of Imam As-Sadiq alayhi salam. Until next time, assalamu alaikum wa rahmatullahi wa barakatuh.
That was Dr. Shiraz Hossein Agha for the program Hadith of the Day on RIB English Radio.
Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad. Allahumma salli ala Muhammadin wa ali Muhammad.
This one lay. Bring us out from Ontario, Canada.
Now back to our story.
What is it in there?
We will be talking about this.
Let me bring in Leo Sazdi. He's a professor of international.
The Spotlight.
The International Day of Al-Quds is just around the corner, yet the Israeli aggression against Palestinians continues. Israel's killed another Palestinian in the Jenin refugee camp, adding to the number of deaths and injuries over the past several weeks, which has seen an uptick in